Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, Ian Hartwell.
Charles.
And Andy K.
I think I still have the music going too loud. There we go. Now
it's
I fixed it.
That's a good time.
Yeah. It's episode one. Right. This is where we make mistakes. We learn things.
Mm-hmm. We're allowed to make a lot of mistakes here. Maybe have some hot button opinions.
I mean, you know,
mistakes in those opinions coming back.
Legend of Zelda is overrated, you know, all that stuff.
Well, first of all, we're streaming on Twitch. First of all, we're streaming on Twitch and taking advantage of none of the features of Twitch, which is showing any sort of video or anything.
Well, there's a chat box.
There is a chat box for all our viewer. I'm sure. Primarily, I think this is supposed to be an audio-only experience, but I also think that streaming on Twitch is the only way that we're going to get to commit ourselves to releasing this to the public, so that's why we're doing it.
I love that.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
So
just wait for that live feedback in that chat box.
That's right. Or just tell us that we're wrong and everything that we think is incorrect, which is probably true. Maybe it's worthwhile also just to say right at the top, so this is a gaming news show, I say in quotation marks. Really, it's just an excuse for Charles, Andy, and I to make each other laugh talking about the news stories that may or may not happen in the week. We may talk about the big story. We may talk about stories that no one really gives a crap about but us. But mostly, we just try to make it entertaining and maybe slightly informative.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully I'll learn something.
Hopefully, you'll get your DoorDash, which is apparently...
I didn't get another ghost notification, so I don't know if I'm getting my noodles.
This is the hard-hitting investigative journalism that we're going to bring.
And you know what that means, though? I'm drinking on an empty stomach. So I'm going to really feel this Mosaic IPA.
We're going to need a graphic for the Andy drink count as the show goes on.
Well, this is the second.
Well, Andy, I'm really worried about the fact that you haven't had food because our first article may shock you.
I am sitting, but I have a drink in hand, so I'm putting it down.
Phil Spencer says they spent billions of dollars on Bethesda not to put their exclusives on Sony.
Wait,
hold on. Grass grows, birds fly, sun shines, and Microsoft bought exclusives for a reason. All right,
pretty much.
You said it's not for exclusives?
No, they did. They 100% did. So as you may recall... Microsoft paid $7.5 billion for Bethesda. And everyone's like, so what's that mean? Are we not going to get Elder Scrolls? Are we not going to get Fallout 5? Are we not going to get Starfield?
I don't know.
And the answer is yes. You're not going to get those things unless you play them on Game Pass. To read Spencer's statement. So obviously I can't sit here and say every Bethesda game is exclusive because we know that's not true. There's contractual obligations. Those are things like Fallout 76, Deathloop, and what's the other game they're releasing for Sony? Is it Returnal? No, I don't know. Either way, there's one more. Oh, no, Deathloop Tokyo. Deathloop Tokyo, yeah.
Ghostwire Tokyo.
Oh, Ghostwire Tokyo. Thank you. Excuse me. Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo, yeah. So they're already committed to those, but you're going to boot them up on PS4 and see Microsoft Game Studio, which is hilarious. But anyway.
Oh, wait, they're going to integrate. I'm learning so much right now.
I
thought it was just them building up the Game Pass.
Well, yes. So
they did.
He continues.
All of the best games.
He continues. Yeah. We have games that exist on other platforms, and we're going to support those games on the platforms they're on. But if you're an Xbox customer, the thing I want you to know is this is about delivering great exclusive games for you that ship on platforms where Game Pass exists. That's our goal. That's why we're doing this. That's the root of our partnership that we're building. So unless your PS5 has Game Pass, you ain't getting next-gen Bethesda exclusives. They're going to be on Xbox and PC only.
I mean, that's fair. They spent like $7.5 billion.
They did. They really bought out... We don't have exclusives. We'll have all exclusives.
Okay. First, I want to figure something out. How do you value something at $7.5 billion?
Well,
there's people for that.
Yeah, they're called actuarials. But
I mean, is it that good?
Well, you figure, right, that you take a look at their revenue over the past 10 years and you say, okay, you sold this many of this game and this many of that game, and we can project that you'll probably sell this many of that game in the future. And somewhere around there, they figure out a price.
And the other important part here too, by the way, is they bought ZeniMax, which owns Bethesda and the other 13 other game studios. So it's not just Bethesda.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls Online.
14 game studios and their revenues.
Oh my gosh. It's just so much money. It's just how does this exist? How do people have this much money? How is Microsoft that a problem? How are we okay with
that? Listen, is this a commentary on wealth, Andy? this like of the major tech companies we have reliably, Microsoft is in that discussion.
How does this happen?
Well, Andy, I was watching a report, or I was on the TikToks. Someone posted a report from 1999 about people going, how can Amazon stock be this much? Are you telling me Amazon is going to put Sears Roebuck out of business?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, I guess that's Bethesda. Well, not really. ZeniMax. But really, $7.5 billion. I just can't get over this. When do you make that money back? How much did Star Wars sell for?
$10 billion? $4 billion. No, $4 billion. It was $4
billion. Bethesda is twice as valuable as Star Wars?
Andy, it's gambling. Andy, what do you want?
This is two Star Wars.
Yeah, but if you think about it this way, Star Wars is one IP. They bought like 25.
Okay, Skyrim's on everything, but it's not Star Wars.
No one's saying that one Bethesda or ZeniMax property equals one Star Wars, but you have Doom, you have Elder Scrolls, you have Fallout, you have... there's others that are escaping me at this exact moment. They did announce they're going to be making an Indiana Jones game soon, which is cool.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, did they buy Star Wars or LucasArts? Did Disney
They bought LucasFilms, right?
Yeah. Bethesda's overrated. Okay.
It's a good thing they bought 13 other studios besides Bethesda.
Yeah, that's true.
Not Star Wars.
Like, again, right? You have to understand that these studios will also create new IPs, which will in turn create more revenue if they are done well.
Andy.
Like,
Go ahead. No, finish.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's it. When it comes to how much something is, it's worth as much as everyone, as they all agree on.
That's true. It's all made up. All it is an agreement.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy, if you want to think about it, they also bought Disney. Also bought Marvel for $4 billion. So
Disney, oh my god.
So
Marvel and Star Wars combined.
Yeah, equals one ZeniMax. Yeah!
I don't believe it. Whatever.
You hear that nerds?
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what this means? Video games is even more art. Okay. This video games have reached art when you're more valuable than Star Wars and Marvel.
Andy,
technically it's a little bit less.
Andy, you should clean your shoulders and take that chip off them.
I just can't get over it. I mean, the return on those IPs have been enormous. I don't see Microsoft making that much money. But you know what? God bless.
I mean,
if they can make that much money, all right, just tax them. As long as they're getting taxed, I'm fine.
They've essentially made Netflix for gaming, which, if you think about it right, is the most disgusting thing that Sony ever let them do.
Yeah. That's true. But and funny enough, to make this a small discussion about Sony, like, Sony is getting a little too comfortable, that's it, being ahead in the console wars. And it's always fun when they keep every new iteration of consoles. But Microsoft did need something to kind of feel like they're catching up. And this is definitely that. And hopefully that keeps PlayStation more competitive and them more willing to do other things. Because I would like to see Sony push harder in new services.
Well, how much money does Sony have?
That's a great question, Andy. That's a great setup for our next. The PS5 is the fastest selling console in U.S. history. So it's a great thing you're not going to be able to play Elder Scrolls 6, Fallout 5, or Starfield on it.
You know.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No. Okay. PS5 was the fastest selling console in U.S. history by dollar sales. And the second best hardware platform in February, only coming behind the Switch, which I can only assume is because of the fact that you still can't find a PS5 anywhere.
Yeah, that's wild. Imagine if they had the manufacturing capacity to actually meet demand. And here's the thing. Here's the thing.
What's the thing, Andy?
Here's the thing.
Continue.
It's not that good. Like, fastest selling. Well, no, maybe it does have the best exclusive lineup. I don't understand. How do you sell this much? Is it like scarcity encourages it? Encourages the sales?
Well, I think you also have the most popular video game console since the PS2 for Sony. And then you have a better one. It's like, hey, this increases load times and everything.
Yeah. Andy, like, the PlayStation, like, gaming has gotten popular over the years, right? As in, there's a bigger user base year over year as more people are accepting of gaming and everything else going on. So we get the biggest audience, and then with COVID, everyone is stuck at home, and suddenly you want to have something to entertain you with. It makes sense. And as well as the idea that it was one of the more popular gaming consoles and brands, and suddenly you make a new one.
I mean, that's also fair.
It's very natural to go, oh, there's a new version that's better. I'll buy that. And you buy it.
I just think it's wild. But you know what? Who am I to begrudge success, right?
You're definitely not, because I got you a PS5.
Okay, that's fair. And you know what? It had a strong lineup. Everybody poo-pooed on the design, okay? Sold enough, all right.
I'm still not a fan of that design.
I don't see rectangles selling this much, all right?
I think the Series S is doing very well. The X, I'm not sure about. But I think people like the X. And frankly speaking, with all this Game Pass stuff, it's only going to get better.
Yep.
That's true. That's where your Skyrim is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's great. I'm just amazed. I don't know why everything is so surprising to me today. Maybe I just want to enjoy the world. All right. Turned up to 11. I need food.
Well, I guess the question is, Charles.
Beer is just destroying me.
Oh, God.
It's that Mosaic IPA. All right, this is a pint can, so I gotta pour the rest in this glass.
Today's episode not brought to you by Mosaic IPA. But I think this goes back to what Charles was saying earlier, is you wanted to see Sony try. Yeah, I don't think they have to.
Oh, no, they don't. They're going to get even lazier. You know what, though? They've got enough good studios. They're going to make... You know what was interesting?
Tell me.
Uh-huh, yeah. Finishing a sentence.
Ghost of Tsushima, all right, is the most completed open world game ever. Yeah. On a Sony console.
Yeah, that's one of my rare platinums. Yeah.
Right. And Spider-Man is above that for whatever other category of game. I have no idea. So Sony's got it locked down. I wonder how much they paid for those studios. Did they pay $7.5 billion? Did they pay more than Star Wars? I don't know. But they don't own
Insomniac yet. Although I strongly believe...
I thought they actually bought them. Whoops. They might as well. Oh, no, they bought them, because didn't they get that Jet Grind Radio ripoff one?
That's Sunset Overdrive, and it's a fantastic game.
To be fair, never played it, couldn't even tell you what it is. I just thought Jet Grind when I saw it, and then I moved on.
I'm sorry that you're uncultured and didn't get to play the one good Xbox One exclusive.
Wasn't it the only Xbox One exclusive?
No. There was Rise, Son of Rome, Killer Instinct,
Oh, that's true.
Halo.
Really selling me here.
Crackdown really? 3.
No one likes that one.
No one likes that one.
That's why they bought Star Wars and Marvel. Okay?
Because that's
they
can't Disney.
Get a single good exclusive.
That's Disney, not Microsoft.
They spent Star Wars Marvel money.
There you go.
They spent Star Wars Marvel money to get Skyrim because they have the money, because everything's made up.
Well, you know, the pharmaceutical companies there, you know, they paid them a lot of money to get the microchips and the vaccines for Bill Gates. So
that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You sell that data, you've got $7.5 billion.
That's exactly it.
That's how we got here. Well, what?
Disclaimer, because the internet is batshit crazy, we don't believe Bill Gates controls the vaccines. No, get a vaccine for the love of God. All.
For the love of God. I qualify for one soon.
Although, can you even trust me? Andy, can you trust me? I'm already vaccinated.
Oh, that's true. Listen, you're controlled. Okay. Yeah,
that's right.
But, you know, at least your immunity is more than zero. So we're good.
I just turned around. There's an Xbox Series X sitting behind me. Oh, no.
Listen, with advertisements tuned just for you. And
so,
I
guess keeping in that thing of we can't believe how much money things are making.
Let's go. Let's keep rolling.
GTA 5.
Oh my God.
So
are they worth $7.5 billion?
No, but they had enough money to pay a modder $10,000 for figuring out why it takes an hour and a half to load a map in GTA Online. So if you hadn't heard about this. A modder figured out, just due to some bad coding, more or less, that GTA Online's loading times were decreased by 70%.
Oh, wow. No, okay, so to be fair, number one, it's not easy to make a game that big. I think we all know. Number two, you know, Captain Hindsight is pretty powerful. But number three, this game has made so much money. I'm curious why they didn't go back to optimize it. Well, if you don't have to optimize it, why would you, right?
Well,
at least they paid for the guy $10,000.
I'm glad you answered your own question.
I was gonna say, so this game came out 8 years ago on another console, and they couldn't be asked to figure this out in that amount of time. But someone finally did. And, you know, it's one thing if it was like a 20% load difference. This is 2/3 difference.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, they're going to be working this update into the actual official patch. So, and I believe they're paying the modder like $10,000 for finding it or something like that, which is ridiculous.
Offer him a job.
I mean, it's not. Well, okay. So the thing about it too is $10,000 isn't so ridiculous. So here's the thing. It's very common in programming companies to have basically what do you call a bug bounty. And by common, I mean I've heard Google used to have one. They may have stopped doing it for bug bounties, but they used to pay money if you found and fixed bugs. I knew Rockstar did have one for them. I think Microsoft had one as well. But basically, find a bug, report it, find a security flaw, report it, and you get money for it. Which is a nice way for white hats to look at in hardened software.
But in this case, they 70%. That's worth more than $10,000. I feel like.
Yeah, considering the fact this will probably make people play more, buy more shark cards, it's ridiculous. What is it? Dedicated viewer Regathor in chat says it was basically struggling to parse a 10 megabit JSON file. Which,
wait, are you serious?
Yeah,
that was 70% of the load time.
Yep.
Oh my God. Now, to be fair, I've written inefficient stuff.
I did it today, as a matter of fact. He says,
I've even written in my comments apologies for how bad it was, but oof. You know what, though? Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?
From the article, I believe it was all under one thread.
Yeah.
On a CPU. So if you're not properly threading, yeah, that's going to happen.
Who has more than one thread? Who has a multi-threaded CPU? They don't exist. All right?
They don't exist.
Everybody runs a Core 2 Duo, okay?
It's just, you know, my Intel Celeron, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
Has really been running that marathon. Well, he deserves more than 10 grand. They got the money.
Yeah.
They probably made that in the last minute.
They did it. They awarded him the 10 grand through the bug bounty system, which normally is reserved
for security. I think it was the max, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's normally reserved for security vulnerabilities. And technically, this isn't one, but they were like, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, it's looking at PC Gamer here doing their own independent testing. It says it would take them about 3 minutes and 15 seconds to get from game launch to the apartment in game. People, they post the patches now live as of today, and people are getting 2 minutes or just over a minute. So that's a reduction of a minute to 2.5 minutes, which is
wild.
Yeah.
Good on that person for finding it. There's almost smart people up there.
It almost makes me want to play GTA again because the loading screens were the worst part of that game.
It was the worst part.
Are we more than 10 grand in marketing just with this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too, right? Come play our game again. No. We fixed our shit.
Oh, no. Well, we didn't. A fan did. And we just sneezed and handed him the tissue.
That's the Bethesda model, Andy.
That's fair. But it didn't work out for CD Projekt Red. Sorry, bud.
They got time.
You
got
a cleaner. Yeah. That's fair.
What was it? We're still due that the big update. I think it's the January update got delayed to, I think it's this month or either early next month because of that whole ransom thing where someone stole their data.
Yeah, I'm almost convinced that was like almost an inside job. like just guys, we need time to get this patch out. We'll just say we got ransomware.
Quick, let's farm sympathy. Although I saw some people like confirmed like how it was sold wherever it was. That it was
on the dark web.
Said that it was sold. They did not say by who or and for how much.
I mean, that's fair. I don't know. I've never been on the dark web. I know you're supposed to say Thor.
There's Tor.
Tor.
There you go. And that's good, Andy. That's real good coverage. I've never been on the dark web. You use Thor for that, right? I'm only on the light web.
You know, and that's fair. Listen, I run with no ad block, all right? I greet the internet open and honest.
Right, you're a better person.
I am a better person. Not a sucker, all right? A saint. That's how I look at it.
Well, I guess you're not a sucker because you have it, unless you have, but we'll find out in a second. Star Citizen has made $350 million selling what is ostensibly JPEGs of spaceships.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so
this episode is all about inflated worth.
It really is, honestly.
Yeah.
Being the person who makes the discussion topics, I get to create my own narrative every week.
Listen, was this subconscious or do you have an agenda here? Because you're getting me riled up.
I do work for a nonprofit.
Oh, all right. So that's how you cover it.
It's Star Citizen, the lauded, hated, scandalous Kickstarter game, which I have to... Bad on me. I should have gotten the note up. When did it originally release? Star Citizen.
What, the Kickstarter?
Yeah, when was the original?
The timeline's there for the Kickstarter. When they started their funding. Go down.
Oh, what is it?
Oh, there it is. Camp. No. Oh, I see. Yeah. I'm seeing 2013.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow. And it's not even released?
Oh, it's never going to release, Andy.
Okay,
first decision they can do is never release this game.
First.
Which is really like 5 games.
I heard they were going to do like a bunch of stuff. And then when you have 350 million. Okay, I bet GTA 5 didn't even cost 350 million. Maybe it did. What do I know? But first. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this original date here. Where is it?
I understand. No.
But Andy, do you understand how they've made money?
So it was like Kickstarter before Kickstarter, right?
Yes. Well, no. It was like one of the big original Kickstarter.
I didn't know it was on Kickstarter.
Okay. All right. No, it was. Okay. It was the top one. I'm dumb. Okay. So it was, yeah, this was October 10th, 2012 was the original date.
Wild.
Yeah. So we're 9 years in.
I know they like, I feel like they opened up a PayPal or something. And then people kept giving them money. And then I guess they build exclusive ships for people with a lot of money. But how are people still invested in this game?
Well, they build exclusive ships, but they also have ships you can buy. But Andy, this is a real universe, right? With real danger. Okay. And so it's not enough that you have to buy your ship, right?
Mm.
You also have to buy insurance for your ship because what happens if it blows it up, your ship will be gone.
You're lying.
I'm not. You 100% can buy insurance for your ship.
I'm Bethesda.
Uh-huh.
And I buy a 200. No, I'm Microsoft. Sorry. And I buy a $200 million ship and I go, someone else goes and blows it up. I literally lose that.
Yes.
I have a stake in your company.
Yeah, here we go. You can buy the Aurora Starter Pack for $45. Includes 3 months of insurance. Not lifetime, Andy. 3 months. You got to re-up that insurance on a regular basis.
Why is anybody else mad about this? I feel like I've never heard of this.
What are you talking about? Everyone, this is the joke about the Star Citizen. It's been almost 10 years, Andy. Everyone, this is like the biggest example of being scammed by Kickstarter.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy, you can buy the Constellation Andromeda for a cool $275, and it comes with 6 months of insurance.
That's wild. You could lose it.
Yeah. Gets blown up.
And to be honest with you, the new, this isn't necessarily breaking new ground in that, you know, this is like a more modern version of Eve.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I was going to say, yeah.
Eve people spending real money for their ships, and some worth $20,000 to $30,000 in Eve ships gets destroyed. You just lose all that money. So it's not necessarily a new ground in that way.
Okay. That's fair. And they're going for an Eve kind of thing, right? It's like Rogue Squadron meets Eve.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like a Rogue Squadron guy?
Oh, there's so many games in this thing.
I don't. This is. Well, no, you said it correctly though, right? This is like the horror story of what could happen to a Kickstarter, right? This is the worst possible outcome, where you start it, you get $350 million, and you still can't finish it.
But Andy, look at this beautiful Web 2.0 experience they have, where I can view my ship.
Is that OpenGL or whatever it's called?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, let's go freeview.
Here's $10,000.
Let's take an x-ray look so we can see the interior design of my fake ship.
Earn my money.
Yeah, they have like a marketing person who makes these look like actual car marketing ads.
Yeah.
Legit. To be fair, it looks pretty slick. The way they're presenting it.
Listen, I'm going to play whenever in 2082 when Star Citizen comes out. Mm-hmm. I will play it and I will fly the most busted ass ship that I can play because I will not fly something that will can blow up in 10 seconds.
That just blows. How much is the base game? I just want to see if I just want to step into this
buy universe. The game.
Or is it free to play and then you have to buy ships on top of it?
You know, it's been a minute since I've really understood the model for Star. Okay. I think it might be MMO where it's free to play and you have to buy in time or something. Because that's very Eve-like too, right? Isn't Eve essentially free to play, but you have to buy time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, again, Charles, you brought up, there's a precedent for this. This already exists in Eve, or at least a model adjacent to it. But I find it egregious that Star Citizen is doing it.
Are you not going to play it, Andy?
I refuse.
What if it's
as a person with a moral compass to not use Adblock, okay, my moral compass says boycott.
What if it's exclusive to PlayStation 7 and you get free ships with your PlayStation Plus account.
You know what? I'll probably still be playing something else. I got enough of a backlog. It's fine. But you know what? People, but here's the thing. I don't want to begrudge the people who invested $1 billion into this game.
$350 million is $1 billion.
That is so sad, right? To have so much investment in it and just see it. And, well, who am I to say, though? I haven't played it. I don't know how fun it is. Maybe people got their money's worth.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I know there's
$275 worth.
I know there's a version of the game. What's up?
Upper right, press the play now button.
Oh, sure.
What type of thing it is.
So it takes you to the starter pack. So you get the
But there must be... I feel like I heard it somewhere, too. There is, like, a beta thing.
Yeah.
Some people are...
Yeah, and it's like you can fly your ship around.
Oh, wait. Is the game released?
No. But there's, like, a small version of the game where you can, like, fly your ship around. And, like, I think you can go inside your ship and things like that. But it's not done yet. Like, let's see. Yeah, see, you can go inside these things. You can walk around. There's inside your ship. But it's not. There's nothing to do, I think, as I understand it. It's just kind of like a bunch of experiences that you can have.
Well, to be fair, it looks nice.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why it got kickstarted was because it sold the right dream, which is a great MMO sci-fi exploration game. Basically Eve, but, you know, actual graphics. Like, because Eve, in theory, and all the stories about it, is really cool and, like, enticing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fun. It doesn't look fun. And it's very boring with all that. But if you have... If you actually have, like, this type of interface and you see those graphics and you're doing stuff, like, there's no reason why it couldn't be good. Eve is a fucking old, ugly-looking game, and somehow the company is successful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and people who want that dream for a better sci-fi experience, this is what Star Citizen sold, exactly what people wanted.
But by the way, Andy, so just current alpha release is what they're in. This is alpha.
Oh, my God.
Is this just
semantics right now?
Just think about how amazing it's going to be if this is alpha, Andy.
Aren't they embarrassed?
No.
Why?
They made $350 million. Why would I wouldn't be embarrassed. Be laughing on the way to the bank. But I laugh more, so.
I think what this means
mm-hmm.
is that we have to come up with a game we'll never finish but make hundreds of millions of dollars off of. Well,
Andy, I think what you've missing is we've started step one of that process, which is start a Twitch channel, gain followers, then... It's all just a big scam, and only the five
I don't know.
People...
There's no donation link. No, I don't see the hundreds of millions.
It takes time, Andy. You can't do it immediately.
Well, we've got a.
You're approaching this thing like parents hearing about Twitch and streaming is like, hey, did you hear about this Twitch where people become millionaires? You should start a thing.
Yeah,
and then.
Well, if we use, you know. Star Citizen is our North Star. We've got 8 years to make $350 million.
9 years.
9 years. Yeah. And that's enough for me to pay off my student loans. So I'm fine.
Or Andy.
Unless someone cancels them first.
Or Andy. We could make a game and sell 500,000 copies like suckers.
That could pay off my loans too.
Yeah. What is that actually? I don't know, I want to think about it. So Loop Hero, right, has sold 500,000 copies. So let's see, that's 500,000 times. I think it's 1999. It's 2099. Either way.
Did they self-publish too?
That's a great question. Let's see.
Go to the store. Or did they owe the man some money?
Devolver publishes them. So
okay.
But man, Devolver really knows what they're doing.
Devolver knows what they're doing.
But yeah, so that's just south of, let's see. Oh, here's the price right here. Oh, it's $14.99. There you go. Okay. So that's probably just somewhere south about $7-8 million.
Mm-hmm. That's a good amount of money.
Yeah. For a game that looks like shit, but plays great. I want to be very clear about that.
Doesn't look like shit necessarily.
It does. There's it looks like it was made in 1982. It looks like Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
I need this bigger. My eyes.
Hold on. Oh.
My eyes can't process this. Okay.
I don't know how to stretch this, unfortunately. So you'll have to live with it. But no, it's if you haven't played Loop Hero, I don't really know how to describe it with any other game.
To be fair, I've had it described by multiple people who I think they described it well, but it still makes no sense to me.
Well, so what it is it's a tile placement game where you have no control over movement or combat. You're placed on a loop. So just kind of it's procedurally generated. So it kind of makes this loop path, right? That could be different things. And then you get tiles to place, which alter the encounters you have in that loop. And sometimes they can be buffs, and sometimes they can be they can spawn more enemies. But ultimately, what you end up doing is you gain gear from fighting those enemies, you get better gear, you gain resources, which you can use to go back and increase your base, which gives you more abilities when you go back into the loop. And it's just this kind of, it's very low stress, almost mindless, but just the right amount of interest where you want to keep playing it game. So it's just that nice balance of, hey, I can play this game for 5 minutes or I can play it for 4 hours and it doesn't really make a difference.
Wait, can you pause it there and make it bigger? Let's take a look at this map.
Oh, I can. There it is.
There we go. Okay.
So if you see, and this is great. This is great audio, right? But So there's this loop, which is this gray area. So there's kind of this circular loop, and your character, who's this little white guy right here, walks forward in it. And all you can do is say pause or go forward. You have no control over speed, and you have no control over the battle when you're in it. He just attacks however fast he attacks, based on your attack speed. And then while you fight monsters, you get gear, which goes here. You place your gear in, you get different levels of gear that upgrades over time. It's a fun little game.
That's cool. $15. Great. And I'm hearing great things about it. I love it. Yeah, I love it.
I think it took me a minute because I didn't really, I just heard, chasing the trends, just heard people like this game, and I felt that dragon greed kick in, and I went, all right, maybe I'll like this game. And it took me a minute because I was like, when I started playing it, I'm like, holy shit, this game looks like crap. But once I got into it, I really understand what they were going for.
You know what? And kudos to the players, too, all right, to see the diamond in the rough. And maybe that's not the right way to characterize it, but I can tell you this screenshot, you know, doesn't pull $15 out of my wallet.
Oh, absolutely not. That's the thing. It looks like a mud. Like, have you ever played in mud, Andy?
Mud?
Yeah, it's like Dwarf Fortress. You know Dwarf Fortress?
I'm aware of it. I've never played it. It just didn't seem interesting to me. I just know it has really good water physics for a game that's ASCII art.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm happy for it. I'm happy for it. I'm happy for them.
You know who else you should be happy for, Andy?
I want to know, because I've got love in my heart right now.
The CEO of Riot Games has been cleared of all Riot wrongdoing by Riot Games.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. What? Okay, so here, quick, before we scroll down,
uh-huh.
What I know
of I love Riot this picture Games. Of him, too, by the way. For those of you listening only to audio, imagine the smuggest punchable face you could imagine. That's the picture we're looking at right now.
And that's not an exaggeration. Literally, this is like a stock image of smug. This is tagged smug. And all I know is that Riot Games hates women. And I know that...
Andy, you might want to throw allegedly as we're talking now in a public place.
Well, apparently I'm wrong, right? Because this guy didn't do anything.
There goes that League of Legends sponsorship, Charles.
Exactly.
I was really looking for
it. I heard it's a very toxic workplace, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't enough to stop him from making a lot of money, but there was corruption from the top down. When you set a precedent, it trickles down, right? Not to excuse the behavior elsewhere, but you are not setting a good example by letting this guy go. Okay. But I don't know what they excused him of. So let's figure out what he did and why it was okay.
Well, Andy, let me ask you. You
what
don't
did he do?
You don't walk up to your subordinates and just rip ass on them.
What?
That wasn't him specifically, but it was. There were employees that have done that.
So let's see here. Niccolo Laurent. So Laurent has been the center of a fresh new sexual harassment controversy within Riot since early January, when former employee and Riot executive assistant Sharon O'Donnell filed a lawsuit alleging that Laurent had created a hostile work environment, made sexual advances against O'Donnell, and conditioned her employment on reciprocating those advancements.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus.
Like you do when you can get any woman you want.
Oh, God. Well, now, she made these claims. Now, why were they refuted?
Well, so here's the thing, right? There was an internal investigation, and they have been cleared today, according to internal emails obtained by the Washington Post. So, right, this is not an official release. This is a reporter mm-hmm. breaking a story. Sure. But that being said, allegedly, this guy's a real piece of shit. And, I mean, look at his face. Seriously. Google his face and look it up and then just be disgusted.
It's so bad. He approved that picture. He stood in front of something. A professional took it, and he said, yes, this is my image. Hand it to everyone. This is in the press kit. I want this to be what I look like. He's not even showing teeth. It's disgusting. Why was he excused?
Let's go to the Washington Post article. Let's see here. Or treated with another picture of him looking like the most piece of shit guy I've ever seen. Oh man, that 10 cent sponsorship going right down the drain. Let's see here. So according to Niccolo, it's important that you hear from me directly. The allegations of harassment, discrimination, and retaliation involving me are not true. Nothing of that nature or even remotely close to it ever happened. Let's see. The company's decision and Laurent's email came the same day Riot filed the appeal to speed up court proceedings in an effort to ultimately move the case to arbitration. What that generally means in stories that I've seen is that the plaintiff's lawyer has more or less signaled that they are willing to take a settlement to get this done with. But who knows?
So it's not that he was cleared. It's
No. According to the Washington Post... let's see. The allegations of misconduct for service on January 7th, which are still not alleged, the news shared internally for Riot employees was followed shortly by an email. It basically says that the internal investigation done by Riot through a third party company says that they found no wrongdoing. What their judgment of wrongdoing is entirely between Riot Games and the third party.
I mean, that's a good call out. I mean, we weren't there. We don't know anything. I don't know. But more often than not, people get away with it. And the other people aren't making it up. And the fact that it came to a settlement, I feel like is an admission of guilt.
Well, we don't know about the settlement. They're just moving to arbitration.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoops. Sorry. I in my head, I categorize it as she got money.
I think it's just one of those things where Riot Games has been the center of several harassment and sexually charged issues. So it's one of those things where, yeah, you have to be careful and you have to look at both sides of every argument, but you also have to look at how much credit they're giving you. It's the guy who trips once a week isn't going to get the benefit of the doubt when he says, oh, he pushed me over.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And I think that's pretty much the thing. This isn't isolated, right?
Yeah.
This is a pattern. And I don't know about this specific instance, but
so
I don't know.
Here's the statement from the committee. Explains the reason for reviewing the work of the third party's law firm's investigation with two criteria in mind. I'm reading between the lines on this, but first to consider whether there was evidence of misconduct. Second, it aimed to assess whether any element in the interaction between Laurent and O'Donnell could have been interpreted as harassing, discriminatory, or retaliatory. We concluded that there was no evidence that Laurent harassed, discriminated, or retaliated against the plaintiff, reads the statement. We have therefore reached the conclusion that no action should be taken against Laurent. What you need to read there is that the committee explains it reached its verdict by reviewing the work of the law party of the third party law firm's investigation. So you don't know what the law firm found, just that the committee found that it was enough, not enough for them to say that it happened. Usually that means that the law firm found enough that they are not legally liable. Is basically
sure,
what it means to.
Sure.
And the difference between it happening and legally liable are two different things.
That's very fair. Yeah, I don't, especially after seeing that picture, I just don't think that, I don't know. I don't believe that he's guilt-free, but...
I don't want to start a witch. Andy, throw some allegedlys in there. I don't have lawyer
allegedly,
money yet.
Allegedly, and that's fair. No.
Listen, whatever the law decides is fine. I just know. Riot Games is just not a great place to work. Allegedly. Charles,
I hope something's improved.
Any bridges you want to burn while we're here?
Oh, I mean, I would like to call out all the Riot Games-based content creators who never speak about all the problems with Riot, the company itself. I've always found that the funniest thing about it, where you hear all this stuff and then, you know, all the people, all the content creators, they rely on it, just kind of wave it off just a little bit, you know. I was like, whoa, shouldn't they say something? Wouldn't they have something to say about it?
That's like the Blizzard Hong Kong thing.
Well, I mean the Blizzard Hong Kong thing, I saw more people willing to fucking blackball Blizzard for that than I've ever seen anybody try to rise up against Riot.
I think it's fair to say League of Legends is more popular than any Blizzard game at the moment.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, Jesus. And that's sad.
They make Valorant either too, way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I will say the stuff that comes out from Riot, those are very good experiences. I can't fucking believe how purposely head in the sands content creators are about those issues, though.
I mean, can you threaten your livelihood? Or would that be a threat to your livelihood?
Let's say it is a threat to their livelihood, but it's still interesting, right? This is one of those moral quandaries. I understand that, you know, people will put this is their lives on the line. But I've seen the Blizzard thing, people, like, they quit their jobs from Blizzard.
It did.
Over stuff that Blizzard has done. Like, whatever. Yeah. Hard times, but boy, sometimes really stand up a little bit harder.
Well, we all have to face our own challenges in our own way, and dealing with the depressing reality of corporate America and the capitalism state that we live in. What are you guys playing to distract yourself from it?
Well, listen, I found a game, okay, that has absolutely charmed me and I'm absolutely obsessed with. Yakuza Like a Dragon.
It's a great game.
I need every game to be focused around people in their 40s and 50s, okay? I only want to know about those stories. It's like Persona for adults.
Yeah, that's literally actually a great way to put it.
Instead of hanging out in your uncle's cafe, you hang out in a bar and drink real alcohol. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I don't know if it's because of the novelty of enjoying content that stars adults and maybe more geared towards adults. Not that younger people can't enjoy it, but oh boy, am I loving it. I cannot say enough good things about it. I just got introduced to the expanded job system. I'm in love. It has been a joy to be able to play that game. I love it.
I beat it. That was the game I bought to play on the Series X when they came out in November.
Oh, sure,
and,
yeah.
And it was, it was a great time. It was, I think I told you guys, it was probably the best turn-based RPG I'd played since Persona 5.
I would say that, absolutely.
Yeah. There are issues with it, but I think a lot of them can be forgiven because this is basically the team's first attempt at making a turn-based RPG when the 7 or 8 Yakuza games, there are 6 numbered games, but there's also spinoffs too, were basically beat-em-ups, right? and to change your style completely to a turn-based, you know, element-based, you know, rock, paper, scissors system, it does kind of, it takes a learning curve. And they nailed it really well. Andy, did you do the management simulator yet?
I just got to it.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, spend a lot of time doing that and money will never be a problem again.
Well, that's my only issue with the job system. It's a problem with any game, right? Is that you switch jobs, but that comes with new gear requirement, right? And it's fun to try out all the different stuff, but then I need to buy new weapons. And right now I am literally, well, no, you're not, I'm not homeless at this point. But it's, you know, it's hard to buy weapons. So that's my one big bummer, but I'm excited to get invested in the, management.
Oh, Nacho's in here. Good.
Yeah.
I love the game though.
The original characters are back. But they're not, what would you say? They're not important to the story. You don't have to have played the previous ones.
Mm-hmm. It's great. I love it. But yeah, that's what I'm playing. It just makes me wish I could have more games with adults. Or at least, I don't know, the characters are so likable, right? Yeah. And the game gives you so much time to spend time with them that it's just been really enjoyable. I think that's what it is. It's just
I would also say, too, that the characters are enjoyable. The story is excellent. And I think that does come across in a lot of Yakuza games too. There's a really good, very interesting story in there. And you spend a lot of time watching cutscenes in these games, and that's important.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a fan of cutscenes. I have no problem with it, so I'm just hanging out with it. But yeah, I love it. I love it. Charles, just came out with a PS5 version.
Yep. Charles, what about you? What have you been playing?
Fire Emblem Three Houses. Let's see. I got back and picked up my old playthrough of my second go round. This time working with the Blue Lion House. I've reached the midway point of the game, and I already don't like my choices just because I'm all about the Black Eagles. Edelgard did nothing wrong, 100%. But I'm playing the completely opposite route that goes against her, and I just go, no one else thinks this is a little bit crazy right now. Dimitri's looking like he's kind of crazy right now, wanting to kill everybody, but he's standing up against Edelgard, so it's okay.
Yeah, but he gets that sweet eye patch. And
yeah, and that's actually the funniest part to me. It's just there's actually a scene where one of the characters, with Dimitri not even there, the other characters go, finally, everyone sees how crazy Dimitri actually is. No one going to talk about that? And no one talks about it. Yeah, everything's okay. Yeah.
Are they completely separate stories?
Yeah.
Well, it's different routes.
Okay.
You side with different groups and stuff like that. So different things happen. But it's honestly still very fun. I'm just flying through the game right now because I don't care for this route in particular. The third route, which is Golden Deer, I believe, should be interesting because I heard that's more the clown route. And I'm interested to see what that means. So we'll see.
I've been playing Loop Hero, as we discussed earlier. And Charles, you and I played Monster Hunter Iceborne yesterday.
Yeah, we did. And, oh, boy, we have to get used to the awful multiplayer settings for that.
You want to play with your friend? All right. Only if you do my 12 tasks first.
and then you need to purposely leave the battle and then start it up again at the battle so that you could have other people join.
Well, that's sad.
It made no sense.
And then and it was just as bad as you'd imagine. And then my other game that I've been playing is called The Game of Life. Is that I'm growing. My plants are now are growing well. I have 25 different peppers going in my holy grow tent currently.
Cow.
Tomatoes will probably start this weekend.
Are they like using natural sunlight, or are you using?
Absolutely not, Andy. Science reigns in this house. I have Samsung quantum LEDs bolting down this GMO fertilizer to make mutant plants that God never envisioned.
You know what? And they are stronger and better for it. Okay.
I'm actually making, I'm growing some Panamanian hot peppers, which is just something fun to say.
And I support it. That's cool. How do you not make it an awful nightlight, though?
Because it's in every the basement. Time.
Oh, okay, that's fair. Every time I've seen like people's setups for growing plants, it has the most miserable light.
Well, and the I was other like, thing.
How can you have that in your home?
Well, the other thing too is I have a tent, so the tent blocks out all the light too. So even if it was upstairs, it really wouldn't be a problem.
You're a professional.
Listen, it's my hobby, right? Much like gaming and now podcasting, I dedicate everything to it.
Including a tent. And I think that's beautiful.
You know what else is beautiful?
What's
this
that?
Has been the first episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a gaming news show.
And it's been wonderful. And I never got my food. DoorDash took my money.
Allegedly.
But never gave me my food. I want to let you know, I click on the support button in the app. It's disabled. They don't even want to tell me where my food is.
This is James Hartwell.
And Charles.
And Andy Kay.
This has been Add to Party. And we're streaming every week, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next week for episode 2, unless Andy dies of starvation.
I better not. I have food, but I don't want to make it. All right? I am $20 poorer. I better make it.